Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, and we're going to begin on Daf Pei Hei Omud Beis and do that half of that Daf, as well as Daf Pei Vav. And this way, B'etzos Hashem, we've caught up for Shavuos, Friday Shabbos this week. In yesterday's Gemara, we discussed plowing a field of 6x6 tefachim and being able to put into it five different species of grain. And we brought down the sheet of Rav that said you had to do this in a way that you're not going to have any mixing of these different vegetables that you're planting over here. And the way he said to do this is to plant a row around each side of the perimeter and a single seed in the center. So you have a single seed around the entire perimeter, so one on the north side, separate seeds on the south side, separate seeds on the east side, separate seeds on the west side. And we had brought down that Rav said that's the only way to do this. What about, we said, if you wanted to go and do this in a way that you could have it with other patches, Rav had said no. You only could have one 6x6 tefach patch done in this way, because if you had other patches next to it, it would be a problem. We said, but you didn't have to do the entire perimeter. If you did half the perimeter of one side, and then you had a break of half the perimeter, so then you could have it attached to other patches. And we had said that would have been a good way to do it. And Rav would have agreed with that. There would have been a space of at least 3 tefachim in between any of the different vegetables that were growing there. We said when they were perpendicular to each other, that's a hecker itself. You didn't need to have a separate 3 tefach space, but if they were not recognizably different, so then you'd have to have a space of 3 tefachim, and we said you could accomplish that if you only did half of the perimeter and not the complete perimeter, and Robert said, no, you can't do that. We were concerned if we allowed you to do half the perimeter, you'd end up doing the full perimeter. That's a quick summary of Rav's sheet from yesterday. And that's what we learned on the Omer Avot, that Rav said, Omer Rav, aruga b'chur v'shanina. You can only do this as an isolated single 6x6 tefach plot of land and not have 9 of these, as we saw in the diagrams in Rashi yesterday. Rav didn't allow that because of a gezeira. If we allow you to do it that way, you're going to end up doing it incorrectly. That's the sheet of Rav from yesterday. Now we start 5 lines from the top of Pei Hei Omud Beis with Shmuel's Shita. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees with Rav. Shmuel says, Aruga Bein Harugo Shanino. No, it's not just one plot of 6x6 tefachim that's in a churba. It's all by itself. He says, no, you can have 9 of them. You can have one next to the other. How come you're allowed to do this? Shmuel says, V'hol ko mitzarve b'hadadeh. Aren't they going to be intermingled? So Shmuel answers, no, b'no teshur lekan, ushu lekan. No, don't do a full perimeter. As Rav had agreed yesterday, if you did only half of the perimeter, then you could orient it in a certain way that each section would either be at a right angle to something else and it's a hecker and it's not a problem, or it would be at least 3 tefachim away, one from the other. And therefore, in that situation, there is no mingling. There is a clear distinction between all the different vegetables, and therefore technically be allowed. And Shmuel says, we don't make such a gzeira. Rashi points out over here, this can be seen in the middle of Dibur Maskel, but note Shur Lakan, Shur Lakan. He says, V'lo Gaza Shmuel, Shema Yamali Yisakronos. And Shmuel did not concern himself with what Rav concerned himself with was Zikazera. That's the simple way to understand this entire Gemara. Yesterday we went through this according to Shitas Rashi. Today we did quickly a summary as well as Shmuel's Shita. This is Shitas Rashi. And Rashi continues here. He says, Kach Niris Shita Zu Be'enai. This is the simplest way to understand this Gemara. He says, however, v'lo pirshu rabosai kein, my rabbeim didn't understand it this way, and he brings down many others that understood it in different ways. And Rashi says, to be honest, I don't understand all of their opinions. Lo yashru b'einai, he concludes at the end, and he says, I like my pshat the best. Fine, that's the simple way to understand this. We continue the Gemara, and we say, Amar Ula, Ula says, Boy Marava, they asked in Eretz Yisrael the following shailah. It's always referred to as b'marava. Hiv kia telem echod al pnei kula. Mahu, if you dig a deep furrow in this 6x6 patch, the way Rashi understands is one of two things. You go, let's say, from north to south with a single deep furrow going right down the middle, and you're going to plant this with either the same species as you had in the middle, or Rashi says, alternatively, you do it a little bit off-center, and you dig this deep furrow that, let's say, goes from north to south a little bit off-center, so it doesn't go through the middle fifth vegetable, and it's a separate sixth vegetable that you're plowing in this furrow. Now, it's a deep furrow. Is that considered recognizable, and therefore it's not a problem of kilayim over here? Because, as we pointed out, when you have them coming perpendicular to each other, you have, let's say, one row vertical, one row horizontal, they can be very close to each other, even within three tefachim. We said it's recognizable that they're separate entities, and therefore there's no concern of kilayim. So do we say this deep furrow over here is deeper than the rest of the field, and therefore it's recognizable? Or do we say, no, it's not? That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosus understands that we're talking about the empty one tefach space that's around the entire perimeter of the 6x6 tefach plot of ground. And therefore, Tosus says, you're digging this deeper over here, so can you plant right next to the 6x6 tefach field because this is a deeper furrow and it's recognizable, or do we say no? So that's the question that Ulut says they asked in Eretz Yisrael, Bom Marava, they asked this question, is this deeper furrow, either like Rashi says or like Tosus says, allowed? So Amr Sheshis, the Gemara brings down Amr Sheshis' answer, no. Ba Irbov Ubitel Es Ashura. If you do it in this way, it's going to be an intermingling. It's going to be an irbuvia. It's going to be a mess over here. It's all intermingled, and therefore, it would ruin the heter of this special situation of the 6x6 tefach patch that you can plow and plant within it five different species. If you do this telem, if you make this deep furrow over here, it is going to ruin it. That's the opinion of Sheshis. Rav Asi Omar, Rav Asi disagrees. Now, Rav Asi is the first generation Amora. There are those that have the gears over here, Rav Ashi, who would be one of the last generation Amoraim. In any event, Rav Asi Omar, Ein Eruvo Mevatel Es Ashura. No, this is not considered an Eruvuvia. This type of a deep furrow over here is separate and it's recognizable, and there is no problem in using such a deep furrow. It doesn't ruin the 6x6 tefach area that you can plant five vegetables in. The Gemara questions this last opinion. Esa Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina es Ravashi. Wait a second. Hanoteash de shuros shoki shuyin. How can you tell me that one furrow over here isn't considered significant? I'll show you that it is. He brings down the following Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Kilayim where it says, Hanoteash de shuros shel kishun. If a person plants two rows over here of kishun, kishun is sometimes of melons, Shte shuros shel diluin. Then he plants right next to it two rows of diluin. Diluin are called gourds. And then he plants right next to it, Shte shuros shel pulamitzri. Pulamitzri is a certain type of bean, an Egyptian bean, and he plants two rows of that. So this is mutter. This is all permissible over here. Why is this permissible? So Rashi says, the shtei shuros chashive lemehevi sodil in avshayim, because each two rows over here is considered like a separate entity, separate field. They have a kera, and it's clearly distinct from the rows next to it. They call min v'min milsa b'yan pe navshay. Since there's two of them, it's significant, so everybody can see, this is his field of melons. This is his field of gourds. This is his field of the pula mitzri. And therefore, it's allowed. Mutter. That's what the Mishnah says. However, if you only did one, vishura, if in fact you did shura acha shel kishuin, if you only did one row of melon, then you did vishura acha shel diluin, one row of the gourd, and then you did shura acha shel pulamitzri, one row of the pulamitzri, then it's asur, it's not allowed. As Rashi explains over here, each one is in ervuvia. Delo cheshivi kol chat sodel nafsha. Each one is not considered a separate field, it's considered one mixed field. Amo telemech on every irbov, so you see that one row does make it a Irvuvia, it's a mixture, it's an intermingling over here. So how can you, either Ravasi or Ravashi, whoever is the one that said it, how could you go and say that it's not, the telemechot is fine? So Gemara says, no, shiny hocha. This Mishnah over here, in Kilayim, it's different. Why is that different? Because the Ika Shirocha, that's the gersa that we have, on the side it says, Tzorech Lamar Shidocha. There's a difference over here. Those types of specific plants that were planted in the Mishnah and Kilayim, the Kishuyim, the Diluyim, the Pulamitzri, they all have extensive leaves. As it says on the side, they're Alin Ruchovin. So they have wide leaves, Sha'ochazim Baritz, that are going down to the ground, Urvachin, and it looks like, V'nichnosin Elabelo, it looks like there's an Evuvia. The leaves are intermixed with each other, so their roots may not be, but the leaves are. And as Rashi says over here, Zimrosein Aruchos, the branches are very long, Umis Arvos Harbe Milamala, either the leaves or the branches are intermingling on the top. So when somebody looks at it, the nearer Irvuvin Bimakomos Harbe, it looks like they're actually mixed together. So when you don't have separate two rows, and just have one row of each, it looks like it's all intermingled. And therefore, that's unique for the Kishu and the Luyin and the Bulametri. But in our case, with the furrow, Lavdavka, one furrow, it's not going to be intermingled, and therefore it would be allowed. That's the Shita of either Rav Asi or Rav Ashi. Rav Kahana, Rav Yochanan. The Gemara continues says the Rav Kahana said to Rav Yochanan, "Harotz lamalos kolki noso yerek." If you want to fill up your 6x6 plot over here, filled with vegetables, not like we had Rav or Shmuel saying that you just have one seed along the entire perimeter and one seed in the middle. But if you want to fill up your plot and still have a tremendous amount of vegetables in it of 5 different types, so this is the way you do it. You have to have this 6 tefach by 6 tefach piece of ground, of dirt. But instead of just doing the perimeter, draw a circle inside this 6x6 square, and the circle will be chamisha. The circle will have 5 tefachim as its diameter. And you can see diagrams of this in our Gemaras, in Tosos. But it's not exactly like Tosos. We're actually going to learn it a little bit differently, but Tosos has it like the diagram in Tosos. If you have those that have an art scroll Gemara, can see as well what the diagram looks like. So you inscribe over here a circle within the square, but not all the way within the square, only with a diameter of 5 tefachim, not with a diameter of 6 tefachim. We'll see in a moment why. Then, va'ogel bo chamisha, that you can plant, Rashi says, with one entire species. So the entire circle is planted with one species within that circle. Now you planted most of this 6x6 tefach already by having the circle that's 5 diameter circle filled with one vegetable. Va'ogel bo chamisha, and then umimale karnoseha, and then, here you have a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So we'll look at Tosfos first because we have that diagram here. Tosfos says, you still have to leave a half a tefach perimeter within the 6x6 tefach because you want to plant many of these patches together. And this way you'll have 3 tefachim between the actual vegetables in one plot to the vegetables in another plot. Because you have a tefach around each of these 6x6 tefachim. So you'll have 2 of them, that's 2 tefachim in between, and you have a half a tefach on each of the plots that are fallow, and therefore there'll be 3 tefachim between the vegetables. That's Tosus' way of looking at this over here. So therefore, each circle is one vegetable, and then the darkened area in the corner of each circle, that square is so to say off, this 5 tefach by 5 diameter circle, so each of those corners will be a separate different vegetable. That's how you get the 5 vegetables and you're planting most of the field. That's the way Tosus looks at it. Rashi, which we don't have a diagram here, but those that have the art scroll Gemaras have a diagram. So Rashi says that the corners that the Tosus diagram had filled in with vegetable, those are empty, and the perimeter, each side of the perimeter will be filled in with a different vegetable. That's how Rashi gets the 5 vegetables in this size plot. Gemara questions, it says, wait a second, you're saying over here, according to Rav Yochanan, you want to lamalos kol ginoso yerek vo'iko de beni beni. How can you say you're going to fill in the entire vegetables in the entire area? You still have to have the 2 tefach in between each of the plots. Again, if you're having multiple plots next to each other, so then you're going to have the 1 tefach perimeter that's fallow around each of these 6x6 tefach. So you have 2 of them together, you're going to have 2 tefachim in between them. So that's the beni is going to be unplowed, unplanted. So Gemara says, you're right. Of course. Of course, you have to have that empty. That, even Rav Yochanan agrees, is empty. Alternatively, Rav Ashi says, no. Rav Ashi ma imayuzruin shesi zorin erev. He says, even those types of the 2 tefach could be planted with something. He says, if the row next to them from the 6x6 tefach is planted in a vertical orientation, so you'll plant in those 2 tefach area in between the patches, you'll plant them in the horizontal orientation. Because again, we said when things are perpendicular to each other, it's a hecker, and they're allowed to be even within 3 tefach of each other. And likewise, Erev, Zorin Shesi, if they were planted in a horizontal fashion on the perimeter, so then in the 2 tefach additional perimeter around each field, you'll plant them in the vertical orientation. So Rav Ashi says you can actually plant even those beni areas over here. The first opinion, the Rav Yannai, says no, those are left fallow. So Rav Yochanan says over here, you can fill up your garden in this fashion. Eisa Ravina Rav Ashi, Ravina asks another question of Rav Ashi. Avodas Yerek B'Yerek Acher Shisha Tvachim. You're right. If you want to set up a vegetable patch with 5 different species inside of it, you have to do it in this way. You have to set it up in the way that we mentioned with a 6x6 tefach area. V'ro Osam, and you go and look at it. V'tavla, it must be in a square. It must be 6x6 tvachim. Tavla Miruvas. So the Gemara says, Ketavla Hu Dishari. Halav Hachi Osur. So how can you, Rav Yochanan, say you can make it in a circle? It says it must be a square. So What is Rabbi Yochanan going to answer? So Gemara says, no, no problem. The whole idea that it has to be a square has nothing to do with the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says you can make a circle inside there. No, that would be perfectly fine. The chiddush is, if you want to have patches next to each other, so then, lahatir rosh tur, rosh tur ayotze emenu. If you want to be able to have a field going into these patches on an angle, we had a diagram yesterday in Rashi, I didn't even point it out, and we're talking about the rosh tur. If you turn back to the Amud Beis, so Rashi has an example of what this rosh tur is. It's like a triangle. If you have a point coming in, so then there's a heker. So if you want to be able to go and have a rosh tur, then you can't have it in a circle. But if you're not interested in having a rosh tur, so then you can even have it in a circle and have, as we described, the different arrangements over here to include a circle. The circle is not the problem. But if you want to have the rosh tur, so then you have to have this tavla miruvas. That's how the Gemara is understood. And Rashi says this could go like Rav or this could go like Shmuel. The bai miruvas lachshuva sode kama lahati rosh tur. The last layer of Yochanan hold Yomel El ain Rosh Tor Biaruga. He doesn't hold like Rav, who says there's no Rosh Tor Biaruga, or he say no, he even holds like Rav. Avo Misade Laruga Yesh Rosh Tor. So Laruga, you can't have a Rosh Tor, but from a Sade to an Aruga, if you have a whole field, then you'd be allowed to. So Rav Yochanan is Lab Dafka going with or not like Rav, with Rav or not like Rav. You can learn him either way. Okay, again, it's a little bit complicated to understand these Gemaras without diagrams in front of you pointing it out, but hopefully we were able to do so. Now we continue in our series of Mishnayos over here. The word Minayin was the start from the Perek. We said this is the key word. And here in this Mishnah, till now we had three Mishnayos, each one separate, one word Minayin. Here in this Mishnah we have four, the last four Minayins over here in the series of Minayins. So we're going to discuss the first one, which is very appropriate for right before Shavuos. The daf here technically is after Shavuos, but we're learning them before Shavuos, so it works out very, very well. Minayin lepoleta shichva zera biyom ha-shlishi, shetehei tmeya, or shehi tmeya, the gears on the side. If a woman is poleta shichva zera, she has relations with her husband, and she still will have the zera coming out of her body. So the Tana of our Mishnah says that if she still has poleta shichva zera, some of the zera is still coming out of her, on the third day, she still remains tmeya. She's a woman who has zera coming out of her, and she's tmeya. And we'll see this has to do with Shavuos. This is learned out from Shavuos. Shenamai, the pasuk says, Hayu nichonim l'shloshes yomim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everybody to be tar at the time of Matan Torah. The men, no problem. If they had relations with their wives, all they have to do is go to the mikvah, and then they're tar. There's no more zera coming out of them. But women, they have the repository of the zera inside of them, so the zera could leak out, the zera could come out. So any zera that's viable zera, and this is medically true, zera can last for about 72 hours, 3 days, so the zera is still viable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if a woman has viable zera coming out of her, she's a metame, like a person having zera come out of them. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted all the women to be tahoros on the time of Matan Torah, and therefore he said, seclude yourself, separate, this is the Shloshes Mehagbala, the 3 days before Shavuos, separate the men and the women, the husbands and the wives, so that they won't have the women being poleta shichva zera at the time of Matan Torah. And therefore, how do we know that there is a 3 day period of time that the zera is considered viable and it could be metami the woman? Based upon the pasuk, you prepare yourself 3 days before Matan Torah by separating from your husbands. That's the first minayin. Then we have three more in this Mishnah. Minayin shemachitzin samila biyom ha-shlishi shecholios b'shabbos. How do we know, Rashi says, that even af biyom gimel mesukenu, that the child is still considered in somewhat of a dangerous situation within 3 days of the Mila, including the third day of the Mila? We'll have other interpretations say the third day is the hardest day. But here Rashi's understanding it that even the third day post-Mila, the child is still in some danger, and you're allowed to go and wash the Mila. You have to, according to some, even heat up the water. That's a whole paragraph of Blades of the Mila. We'll discuss the Machshire Mila, whether you're allowed to even heat up the water. So in any event, Marchitzin and Samila biyom ha-shlishi, you're allowed to go and wash the Mila on the third day, even Shecholios b'Shabbos. How do we know? The Shenema, Vahi b'yom ha-shlishi b'yosom ko'avim. The third day, they were still sick. So either the third day was the most severe day, or that also on the third day, they still were considered ko'avim, sick, in pain, and therefore you can do this for them. The next minayim, minayim shekoshrin loshon shel zohoris b'rosh soyer hamishtaleach. How do we know that you're allowed to go and put a piece of red wool? Zohoris over here is this wool that they would put on the Sari HaMishtaleach, the goat that was sent out to be the Sari HaMishtaleach. We had the Sari LaHashem and the Sari LaHazazel. So the Sari LaHazazel is called the Sari HaMishtaleach. So they would tie a red piece of wool, like a red bindle, around the neck of this animal, and it would turn white, and they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven them for their sins. How do we know that they did this? Shenemar, of course, Pasuk says, Im yu chato'echem kashonim, kasheli yabinu. If your sins were Rachmanu, we'd be like shonim, which is a red piece of wool, kasheli yabinu, they will turn white. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us for our sins. And finally, the last of the seven series of minayins that we have, the fourth one of this Mishnah, minayin l'sicha shehi kishasiya b'yom HaKippurim. How do we know that we treat anointing in the same way that we treat drinking? Both are aser on Yom Kippur. So, afabishen raya l'dover, we don't have a feirish raya to this. We have zech l'dover. We have an allusion to this. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, v'tovo kamayim b'kirbo, v'chashemen b'atzmo sov. This is a Pasuk from Tehillim, where it tells us that a person will have, it will be like water coming inside of him, so it will be like oil on his atzomos, on his bones. Tosus points out that this is because it's only a zecher over here, because it's not really being brought inside of you. This is called water that was anointed on them, so it's like the shemen that was anointed on them. It wasn't drinking water in this situation. As Tosu says in Diramaskal Apapi, Mishum Dekra lo Mishtoi Bishasiya El Ruchitza, that the Pasuk is not talking about drinking, the Pasuk is actually talking about Ruchitza, washing. Okay, let's begin the Gemara. So Gemara tells us, Reisha, the Lok Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Reisha is not like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we're going to see a Machlokis in all of the Gemara today. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the Paleta Shechva Zera is only for 2 days. On the third day, it's no longer Tmeya. And therefore, our Mishnah, which said on the third day it's still Tmeya, cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Seifa, however, is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Seifa, which tells us that you're allowed to go and wash the Mila on day three. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Dik Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Tahora Shaman Aleh. So we have a steer over here that later on in the Mishnah, in the Seifa, it's going to be the Marchitza Samila. That's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but the Reisha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So we have a steer over here because Tahora Shaman Aleh, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Shita is that the third day it's Tahora. So where it says two Terutzim over here. The one who says we don't like to have a Mishnah like this with different opinions in it. We want to have one Tana. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that the Reisha would be not the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He disagrees with the Reisha, but he's a Tana later on in the Mishnah. So the Man D'Yomid, it says we don't like to separate a Mishnah like this into different Tanoim. Man D'lo Moke Ketanoi. So then you have to change the gears of the Mishnah. Tana Reisha Tahora. Not Shehi Tumeya or Shetehei Tumeya. It's Shetehei Tahora. And that's Hayu Nechol Mishol Shlomo. We'll learn that Gemara later today, that we learn out that it could be the third day, it's not Tumeya. That would be the Shita Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So you have to have the word Tahora. You have to make a substitution in the word over here. Now the whole Mishnah is in accord with the Elazar ben Azariah. On the other hand, Uman the Moki Kitanoim, the one who says, no, what's the problem? It's four sections in the Mishnah. Why can't there be different Tanoim? And who says that the Tana that holds like number three is automatically the Tana that holds like number one? So therefore, there's no problem in switching it around. So the Man Demoki Ketanoi, the one who says, no, you can have in the same Mishnah over here, different Tanoic opinion, says, no, Reisha Rabbanan. You're right, the Reisha is not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan we're going to learn soon. And Seifa deals with Mila, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. No problem. Okay, two different ways to learn the Mishnah. Now we get into the discussion about Shavuos and the preparation period of time before Shavuos. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa, Tosefta in Mikvos brings down the following. Poleta Shechva Zera, Bayom HaShlishi Tahora, Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Oh, that's the shita we just said, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that a woman who had relations with her husband. So day one, day two, any Zera that comes out of her makes her Tmeya. But Zera that comes out on day three is no longer considered viable Zera, and therefore, Bayom HaShlishi Tahora, Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rishmol disagrees. Rishmol Omer, Pa'amim Shein Dalit Onos, Pa'amim Shein Hey Onos, Pa'amim Shein Vav Onos. He says it depends. Sometimes the woman will be Poleta Shechva Zera for four time periods, sometimes for five time periods, and sometimes for six time periods, and still be Tumeya. Sometimes it's four, sometimes five, sometimes six. How could that be? Because as we'll see, Rabbi Yishmol holds that the third day a woman is still Tumeya. So it depends when she had relations. For argument's sake, if she had relations at the very end of a day, let's say she had relations right at the end of Sunday, so then she has an ona. An ona is a 12-hour period. She'll have the ona of Monday, which is Sunday night, so Monday in the night, and Monday during the day. what we would call Sunday night, which is Monday in Halacha. That's two onos. Then Monday night, which is Tuesday in Halacha, and Tuesday day, that's another two onos. So she had relations right at the very, very, very end of Sunday. So Sunday still counts as day one, Miksa Yom Kikulo. Then you have the full day Monday and the full day Tuesday, but it's only four onos. The full 12-hour period of time, twice on Monday, twice on Tuesday. And therefore, now, when it's Wednesday, the start of Wednesday, Tuesday night, if she's Polenta Shechazeret, that's already day four, because she had Sunday, Miksa Yom Kikulo, as day one, Monday, day two, Tuesday, day three. No longer on Wednesday is she Polenta Shechazeret. That's how you can have four onos. If she had relations not at the very, very end of Sunday, she had relations Sunday morning, so then Sunday would be one full ona, and then you'd have the two onos on Monday and the two onos on Tuesday. So that would be 3 days with five onos over here, not four, because she had relations at the beginning of the Sunday day ona, not at the end of it. And that would be five onos. How would you have six onos sometimes if she had relations at the very start of Sunday, i.e. Matzah Shabbos, right after Matzah Shabbos, the start of Sunday, she had relations. So then you have the full ona of the nighttime of Saturday night, which is Sunday in Halacha. And you have the full day of Sunday, that's the second ona, the two full onos on Monday, the two full onos on Tuesday. That's how you get six onos. So that's what Rabbi Yishmael says, this three-day period of time, the Miksa Sayom Kikulo, sometimes that could be four onos, as we said, sometimes that could be five onos, as we said, and sometimes it could be six onos, as we said. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Leolam, hey, it's always five onos over here. That's the way it is. You need to have five onos. So when you have the miyotzo mixas ona rishona, if they had relations not at the very beginning of the ona but in the middle of the ona, so then you have to have the same amount of time. When you go to the next day, you have to have half of that ona the next day. So for example, if the woman had relations in the middle of the ona on Sunday during the day, so then half of the ona of Sunday the rest of the day, plus the two onus of Monday, the two onus of Tuesday, and then half of the first ona on Wednesday. Because he says you have to have five complete onos. Fine, these are the three shitas that we have. So, imyotzis, the shita of Rabbi Kiva is five onos. Vimyotzis, so mixas ona, rishona, noslo mixas ona shishis. As I said, if you didn't have a full first ona, so then whatever you're missing from the first ona, you have to make up, so to say, in the last ona, from the sixth ona, because you have to have five complete onos. So these are the three shitas that we have in this brisa. Amru Rabbanan Kamei the Rapapa. The rabbi said in front of Rapapa, Amrili Rapapa L'Rabba, it was Rapapa that said to Rabba. Now, Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah K'Rabbanan. We'll see that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that says on the third day, that you're not the your tahora, the Polenta Shechazeret is tahora on the third day. They hold like the opinion of the Rabbanon. What is that opinion? The Omre that the Rabbanon hold behei ovid prisha. We'll see in a moment. We have this machlokes as to when the Torah was given. Everybody agrees the Torah was given on a Shabbos. The question is: was Rosh Chodesh that year on a Sunday, like it is this year? Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. Yesterday was the first day of the month of Sivan. There's one opinion that says that's the way it was in the time of Matan Torah. And then you have another opinion that says, no, that the Torah was given on Shabbos, but Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. So we'll see these two opinions in a moment. But we're saying now that the opinion of Elazar and Azariah is like the opinion of the Rabbanon. And according to the Rabbanon, the Torah was given on Monday. And therefore, you were told to be Poresh on Wednesday afternoon. So a woman could have relations still Wednesday afternoon, right before the Shkia. And then she would have to have that Miksa Yom Kikulo would be part of Wednesday. Then Thursday and Friday would be the two full days, plus the part of the previous day. And therefore, even if she was Polenta Shechazeret on Shabbos, it wouldn't be a problem. She's not Tameya in that situation. So Rabbi Elazar, who says the third day, so no problem, they were on Shabbos, Tahorim, so therefore, he says, Behei Ovid Prisha. They only separated on Thursday. They were told to separate from the late Wednesday afternoon, so they could still have relations Wednesday afternoon, but Thursday and Friday didn't have relations. Rishmol Rav Yossi, and Rav Yishmol, he holds like Rav Yossi, Domar Bidalit Ovid Prisha. He says that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, and therefore, they're already told to separate on Dalit, on Wednesday. So they stopped having relations Tuesday afternoon. Then you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's why you need three full days, so that on Shabbos they would be Tahorah. So we understand the Shita of Elazar Nazariah. He holds, like the Chachamim, that the Torah was given on Shabbos, but Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. And we understand the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, that the Torah was given on Shabbos, but Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. And that's how they had the difference between the days of the Shlosh Shmei Hagbalah starting on Thursday or the Shlosh Shmei Hagbalah starting on Wednesday. El Rabbi Akiva, come on, who does Rabbi Akiva hold like? He says five onos. Which Shita does he hold like? So Gemara says, Lo Lunker Yossi. He holds like Rabbi Yossi, that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. Kidami Rav Ada Barava, Moshe B'yashkama Allah U'B'yashkama Yorad. That Moshe, in fact, came up from Shemayim. He came down in the morning, and he went up in the morning. What does that mean? B'yashkama Allah D'chsiv V'yashkei Moshe B'boker. He got up early, Hashkama. V'yal Har Sinai. He went up. B'yashkama Yorad. And he came down. It was also in the morning when he told Klal Yisrael about the Shlosh Shmei Hagbalah. D'chsiv Leich Reid Yolisa Atori Aroni Moch. So make if you read the Aliyah. He connected over here when he came down to when he came up. Ma Aliyah Bashkama, we know that he went up. Bayashke Moshe Baboki went up by Yalu Har Sinai. So after you read it, when he came down, it was also Bashkama. It was also early in the morning. And that's how Rabbi Akiva Shita is five onos. They had the full first ona was the full day because Moshe came Bashkama. And that's why Rabbi Akiva said, if it extended a little bit later, so then you had to make up for it in the sixth onah. But that's how he gets the five onahs. The full day of Wednesday, and then the full day of Thursday, and the full day of Friday. Wednesday was a full day, just the day, not the night. And Thursday and Friday was the day and the night. That's the five full onahs. So those are the three shitas. Now the Gemara asks, Lo Malei L'Neimer L'Hu, why did Moshe have to tell Klal Yisrael in the morning, on Wednesday morning, according to the shita, that you're going to have to separate for 3 days? Rav Huna said, Yisrael Kedoshim name. The Jewish people are a very holy nation, and therefore they ain't mishamshin mitoseim bayom. They don't have relations during the day. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that it's pasnish to have relations during the day because you're going to see in the light of the day blemishes in each other, and it's not good. It's not good for shalom bayis. Therefore, it's better to have relations at night when things are more tsunua, and you're not going to look and see blemishes, and therefore it'll be better for shalom bayis. So therefore, Yisrael tsunuim heim. The Klal Yisrael is a holy nation, kedoshim heim, and they don't have relations during the day. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to bedafka come Wednesday morning? He could have come Wednesday afternoon. So Gemara answers no. Ha'amar Rava. Rava tells us im hoya bayis afil mutar in the dark. Again, no concern about seeing the blemishes, so that in the dark, it is permissible to have relations even during the daytime. V'yama Rav, v'yitim Rav Papa, and Rav said the name of Rav Papa, or others say it was Rav Papa. In fact, Tamu Chacham, who has an interest in having relations with his wife, and doesn't have the ability to control himself, so then, ma'fil b'talisu mutter. He's allowed to go cover himself up with a talis. In other words, make it dark, and mutter, it's permissible to have relations. A talis here doesn't mean a talis, it means to put a sheet over themselves. You darken the room by covering themselves up, so therefore it's permissible. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to come Wednesday morning, bedavka, and tell them, and not just on Wednesday afternoon or evening, to restrain from having relations at night. Return to the Amud Beis. Mori says, v'atula yom ninhu, based upon what you're telling us, so all the women would go to the mikvah now on Friday night, so they would then be not having Harav Shemesh. So they went to the mikvah after it was already Shabbos, after Friday night, after it was already Shabbos, so they would need Harav Shemesh in order to become fully Tahorim. So therefore, you're telling me that all of the women were, in fact, Tfu Yom on Har Sinai? So Gemara says, yeah, Abaye Bar Oven. Bar Ovin, for Rav Chinina Bar Ovin, the Amri Tavayu, yeah, Nitna Torah L'Tvul Yom. The halacha is that as a Tvul Yom, it wasn't a problem. This needs to be clarified, however. Yosef Mereimar was sitting, Bekamalei Lo Lohor Shmaisa, and he said over this memra, and Amalei Ravina Mereimar. So Ravina said to Mereimar, really? Nitna Kamritz? Are you saying that it really was? That all of the women were in fact Tvul Yom? Is that really true? Or they could have been Tvul Yom, but in fact, none of them were Tvul Yom. So Amalei, so Mereimar said back to him, Re'uya Kamina. Kodesh Boch made a nace that none of them were actually a Paleta Shivcha Zera at that time, and therefore none of them actually had Zera that came out. So when they went over here, they really all were Tahorim. As Rashi points out over here, they all went to the Mikvah. Dibra Masku Re'uya Kamina, he says, they all went and were Tovo before Shabbos started, and then they had Erev Shabbos on Friday. That was the Erev Shabbos. And then if they had in fact had additional Shechva Zera that came out, so they would have gone again to the mikvah. However, Rashi tells us Ulo Polto that none of them had Poleta Shechva Zera that night. In fact, Bimhayu Poltos, Yachzu Vitvalo, Bishatakha, so they wouldn't have gone to the mikvah again. And they would have then been Tulos Yom. However, Avalo Hutchukulakacha, Kosh Baruch made an ace, and none of them actually needed to go and go to the mikvah in that situation. Fine. The Gemara continues and says, "V'litvulu b'nei Shimshe." Why did HaKadosh make them go to the mikvah during the b'nei Shemashos over here of Friday afternoon? And then, "V'likabu Torah b'nei Shimshe." And then, give the Torah right then, Friday night. Why did HaKadosh Baruch wait to give the Torah till Shabbos morning? Give it as soon as you can. It's Shabbos, you want to give the Torah on Shabbos, so give it right away. So Gemara says, no. Amar Yitzchak, lo me rosh baseser dibarti. The pasuk that we have over here, Rashi explains, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'makom eretz choshek v'layla choshechu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to go and give the Torah at night when people would say, hey, if we'd known you're giving the Torah, we would have wanted it too. So therefore, we wanted to do it openly in the day, and therefore nobody has a taina. How come, if we'd only known about the Torah, we would have come? That's the pasuk that we have. On the side, he brings down that there's a different pasuk over here, and the pasuk is Lo baseser dibarti bimkom eretz choshech, and that's a different pasuk. It's a little bit earlier in the parsha over there in Yeshaya. In any event, it also says the same idea. On the side, it says Umitzu litein tam. Why there should be two different pasukim over here that we're discussing? Fine, that's a question. In any event, this is the idea why Kosh Baruch Hu wants to give the Torah b'davka etzem ayom hazeh on Shabbos morning, so nobody could have a taina. So Gemara says, "V'litvulu b'tzafra the Shabbosa." So then, why did they have to go to the mikvah on Friday night? They could have gone to the mikvah on Shabbos morning then. "V'likabul Torah b'tzafra the Shabbosa." They're getting the Torah anyway on Shabbos morning, so why not go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning? So Amar Rav Yitzchak, said, "No, shlo yeh halalu hochem l'kabul Torah, halalu hochem l'tvila." Because this way, half the people are going to be going to Kabbalah Satorah, and the other half still going to the mikvah, and that's pasnish. It's just not right to do it that way. So we have three opinions over here as to how much time is Poleta Shechva Zera going to be Tmeya. Rav Elazar Azayit was the most makel opinion, only for 2 days. Then the opinion of Rav Yishmael that it could be 3 days, it's still Tmeya, but it's either 4, 5, or 6 onus, depending on when they had relations. It makes it a Yom Kukulo. And then we have the opinion of Akiva that it's always 5 onus. And now we have the opinion of the Chachamim. Amar Rav Chiya b'Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zudi Rav Yishmael, Rav Akiva. These opinions that we had are the opinions of Rav Elazar and Azayit, which we don't even mention over here, but the opinion that it's still Tomei on day 3, that's going to be either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. However, Avo Chachamim Omrim, but the opinion of the Chachamim is the gear that we have is Sheish Onos Shlemos Bo'inon, that you need to have 6 full 12-hour periods of time. Again, an Onos is a 12-hour period of time, and you need to have 6 full 12-hour periods of time. So the Polet, the Shechva Zera, is not based on the calendar day, it's based on 6 complete Onos. So if a woman would have relations in the middle of the night, so then she would have to go count 6 full onos from that point in time. That's the gear that we have. It says sheish onos. The Vilna Gaon over here in the Gaon Sagra brings down, there is another gear over here from the Gaon, and it says gimel onos. Now, how did that work? So the Mepharshim explained the gimel onos over here means 3 days. It means each day is considered an ona, according to this version, this girsa. So it's the same exact thing. It's 6 12-hour periods of time or 3 24-hour periods of time. Okay. Gemara continues, says, Amar Chisda, Machlokish, Shapirsha, Mino Isha. That we're talking about for a woman is Poleta Shechva Zera. That's the din of Tuma of Poleta Shechva Zera, the 4 different opinions that we have. Abel Pirsha, Minish, when Zera comes out from a man, so how long is it Metame? It's Temeya, it's capable of Metame, Kozman Shilecha. As long as it's moist, if it's still liquidy to a certain extent, so then Zera that comes out from a man is still capable of being Metame. Mas Roshesha says, wait a second. If the pasuk tells us, if you have a garment over here made out of a cloth material, or whether it's made out of ore, leather, and it has shechva zera on it, so then the person is tamei, and he has to go and go be tovel, and he's tamei out of erev. That's what the pasuk says. Now, this seems to say, prat l'shechva zera, she's srucha. This is because the shechva zera over here is still srucha. Now, it doesn't say that it's still wet. Rashi explains over here that the Shechva Zera came out al habegit umetar lo lecha misrachas the loktoni prat lechishiyavsha. Even if it's moist, but it's no longer going to be metame over here if it's misrachas. So what is the shear? Is it the shear of moist lecha or is it the shear of misrachas? So the Gemara answers, my lav, aren't we talking about over here, Sheper Shamin Ha'ish, and this is a kasha on your statement about Lecha. So Gemara says, no, Sheper Shamin Ha'ish. This is talking about Shechel Zeri that comes out from a woman. That depends on whether it's still capable of being Zera. And that's Misrachas. It depends on whether it still is capable of impregnating. But from a man, we go by just whether it's moist. If it's Lecha, it's Matame. If it's not Lecha, if it's Misyavsha, if it's dried up, it's not Matame. By Rav Papa asks similarly. He says Shichva Zera Shal Yisrael b'mei Kusis Ma'u. Rechman al-Tzalaf, if Yid has relations with a Kusis, a woman, a Kusis, so what is the status of the Zera inside that woman? What's the problem? So do we say Yisrael inside a Jewish woman did the Igeh b'mitzos, so always concerned about doing mitzos, Chavil Gufayu, their body is so to say hot. Rashi says this lotion of Chavil over here is Cham. Their body is warm from their constant interest in doing mitzvos, so to say their body has a higher temperature, and therefore that's why the Shechva Zera becomes destroyed within the 3-day period of time, and therefore it's no longer considered viable. So that's because of the Jewish women being Chavil Gufayu. However, of the Kochav, the Lodi given mitzvahs, the Kusis over here, the Goyish woman, they don't have this heat, so to say, that's generated in their bodies because they're constantly doing mitzvahs. And therefore, well, maybe the Shechva Zera doesn't get destroyed. If it's not in a hot environment, it won't get destroyed. Or do we say, no, Al Dilma, maybe, Kivan da Achle Shkatz Vrumashim, since the Goyta, the Kusis over here, eats Trefa foods, the Trefa foods increase the temperature inside the body, and therefore, Chavu Gufayu anyway. So that's Rav Papa's question. Is this concept of Poleta Shechva Zera only applicable to a Jewish woman, or does it also occur with a Goyish woman? Now the concern would be, when it's Poleta Shechva Zera, could it be Metame or not when it comes out of the Goyish woman? If you want to say, okay, yes, the Goyish women do have this Chavu Gufayu, and therefore the same din applies to a Kusis or to a Jewish woman. But what about Rachman al-Islan? If there was the Zera of a Yid inside a Behema, so do we say in that situation that Zera is Metame Poleta Shechva Zera or not? Do we say over here that maybe by the people, women, so Isho de Isle Prozdor Misrachas, the fact that it's inside the body of a person, the reason why the Zera becomes no longer viable is because not only is there heat, but also because there's a prozdor. It's sealed off through the vaginal canal, this prozdor, so it's sealed off, and therefore the heat inside is able to destroy the Zera's viability. However, Avo Behema, the less they prozdor, low. But animals that don't have this prozdor, so then the outside cool air, so to say, goes right in, and it doesn't allow the Zera to become no longer viable. It's like aerated over here. Or do we say, oh, Dilma Loshna? Or we say, no, it doesn't make any difference, and the Gemara left over here with the Teiku. Now we begin the Sugya, the beautiful Sugya about Shavuos. When was Shavuos? I already alluded to this. We'll read it inside. We won't finish off the Sugya today, but Mitzvah Hashem will get it started. Tana Rabban, we learn in a Braisa. Bashishi Bechodesh Nitnu Aseres Adibus Yisrael. Tanakama of this Braisa says that on the 6th day of the month of Sivan is when Shavuos is. That's when Matan Torah occurred. Aseres Adibros are given to Chai Yisrael. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi may be Shivabo. He says it's on the 7th day of the month of Sivan. Now, what exactly are they arguing about? Amar Rava. Rava says, Tukuli Alma, both the Chachamim, the Tanakama, and Rav Yossi all agree, the Rosh Chodesh, also limit by Sinai, that Chai Yisrael entered to the desert around Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The Kuli Alma, that everybody agrees to. How do we know this? The Ksiv Hasso, because it says over here, by Yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, that on this day they came to Midbar Sinai. What day was that? Ksiv Hasso, and it also says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. So we have this concept over here that it was Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, through the Gzeir Shav over here of Hazeh Hazeh, Mal Halen Rosh Chodesh, Afkan Rosh Chodesh. So we have over here Gzeir Shav telling us that they entered to around Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. Fine, everybody agrees to that. Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they entered into the area. Now, Udukuli Alma, likewise, everybody agrees, B'Shabbos Nitna Torah Yisrael. Everybody agrees that the Torah Akdosha was given to us on Shabbos. Shavuos was Shabbos. How do we know that? Ksipacho, because it says over here, in regards to the Aseres Adibros, Zuchoris Yom HaShabbos Lekacho. You have to remember Shabbos and sanctify Shabbos. Uksiv Hasam, and it says over there when we left Mitzrayim, V'Yom Moshalom Zuchoris Yom HaZeh, you remember this day. So Malahalim Bitzum Shoyom, there was during the day. Avkan Bitzum Shoyom. So to over here by Matan Torah, it's also during the day. So we know that the Aseres Adibros were given on Shabbos that day. Hayom Hazeh. So therefore, everybody agrees to these two things. Everybody agrees that they entered around Har Sinai to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Here's where we have the machlokas, however. Ki plige, where do the Chachamim, the Tanakama, and Rav Yossi disagree, b'kviya di'archa, on what day was Rosh Chodesh? Rav Yossi sovar, b'chad b'shaba ikva yarcha, that Sunday was Rosh Chodesh, just like this year. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. Rav Yossi says, Sunday was Rosh Chodesh. And the Chachamim say no, that Monday was Rosh Chodesh. So this is the introduction to this sugya, the famous machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi on the days of the week. Mirtz Hashem will pick up at this point tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir.